Okay, in the Schattenstein Gemara 23:83. In the regular Gemara it says Chav Gimel Amid Aleph.
The bottom.
No, one line all the way before the wide lines. One line before the very wide lines at the bottom of the page. Gufa, the Gemara said, we said before, Amar Vyuda Amar Rav, Rav Yudha said the name of Rav, Eina Edem Chesmin al Ashtar, that the witnesses are not allowed to sign on a document unless if you know who the witnesses are. In other words, you have to know who's co-signing with you. That's what Rav Yudha Amar Rav said. Tanya Nami Hochi, so we learned in a Braitze, Kachu Yiniki Adash Yibushalayim, the pure-minded, meaning the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, they never signed the document, unless if they knew who signed with them, because they wanted to make sure it was a kosher witness. Not only that, they would never sit as a judge in a bezdin, unless if they knew who sat with them as a judge. In other words, because they wanted to make sure, if I'm sitting as a judge, it was a proper judgment. So they wanted to make sure the judges were good. And the last thing they didn't do, well, yinichnosim besuda, they would not enter a banquet, elam ken yedin mi yemetsev imam, unless if they knew who would be eating with them. Okay, why? Because it's, as the Gemara Rashi explains, it's not proper for a tzaddik or chacham to sit with amiratzim at the dinner, because chacham are supposed to speak Torah, and amiratzim are busy speaking about the sports. So he says, this is what the Niki Adas means in Tzadikim Yerushalayim. They never signed the document without knowing who the other signature was. They never sat as a judge, unless if they knew who the other judges were. And they never sat to a meal, a banquet, obviously, unless if they knew who else was at the banquet.
Is that halacha?
This is what they did. So you see, this is like what Rav Yudha Amar Rav said, that the witnesses don't sign on the shtar unless if they know who the other one is. And then it says in the Mishnah, another din. Zepe, so Dayone, Rav Meir says, you know, when each litigant picks one, and then the two pick a third, or the Bezdin picks a third. So Rav Meir said in the Mishnah, each litigant can disqualify the judge that the other one picked. So Rav Meir said that in the Mishnah.
Again, is it not proper to sit at the rabbi's table in gathering?
Yeah, they don't. All the rabbanim sit together. Everybody else.
That's the worst table to sit at, by the way. I hate sitting at that table.
But they always put you on the
there. And I never sit there. Yeah, you never sit there. The place of Dayana, it says like this. So the Gemara says, "Kol kamini the pasul daina." Why is a litigant qualified to disqualify a judge? I mean, who gives him a right to disqualify? You can't just say the judge is no good. Who gives
judge
him
the does for another judge?
No, that's not what the Gemara said. Rabbi said the litigant can disqualify a judge that the other one picked. So Gemara said, why should he be able to disqualify him? It's speaking not in Yiddish court. Like the Gemara said before, the Gemara said there was a secular court in Surya that had Yiddish judges on it. So they weren't big Talmidei Chacham and great people. They were like people that were able to sit as a judge. So then you could disqualify them. That's when Rav Meir says a litigant can disqualify a judge. But in the proper bezdin, like he says, the Gemara said, but expert judges, meaning in a bezdin, you can't disqualify. It says at the end of the Mishnah, Chachamim argue on Rav Meir. Rav Meir says the litigant can disqualify a judge. Comes along the Chachamim and said, no. When can a litigant disqualify the judge? Bizman shemei viraya, when the litigant brings a proof, shem kraven epsulim, that they're relatives or they're not kosher people. Avalam ho yukshedem my mumchem ipnei bezdin, but if they're kosher people or experts from bezdin, meaning they sit on a Yiddish court, and yachal lepaisli, they can't passel them. Meaning like this, the chachamim say on an expert court you can't passel them, which means that mayor holds. Even on an expert court, you can disqualify them. So how could the Gemara answer that this that a mayor says you can disqualify a person is only if it's not an expert court? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamer." This is what the mayor means. But if the judges were eligible, meaning there were proper judges for a proper bezdin, nasa kumum chamipi bezdin, then they become regarded as expert certified witnesses, or judges. You can't apostle them. Meaning the way the Gemara explains is as follows. This that a mayor says a litigant can disqualify the judge is two things. Either in the bezdin of Surya, but not in the regular bezdin, or like the Gemara explains, unless the chamal like this, unless if you can prove that the guy was relatives or not a kosher judge, then you could disqualify him. Okay? Rav Meir says, when can you disqualify a judge if he's not a kosher person? And you have to prove it. But if he's a kosher person, then he becomes like an expert, and you can never disqualify him.
In case of Zabla, you can disqualify?
That's what the mayor holds. Even in the case of Zabla, if you picked one and the other guy picked one, I, the litigant, could disqualify your judge.
What's the criteria for kosher witness?
Kosher judge. Number one, he knows halacha, he's honest, he doesn't take bribes. He, like it said in yesterday's parsha.
Zabla, I choose a rabbi. The other guy chooses a rabbi. Those two rabbis pick up the judge.
There was a machlekes in the mission between Rami and the Chachamim. Either the two judges pick the third, or the two litigants pick the third.
So, but in the case when the two judges pick up the third,
correct,
the defendants can disqualify that.
Sometimes
judge?
They could even today. And that's what goes on. You know why it takes very long sometimes to organize a din Torah? Because everybody keeps disqualifying everybody else.
Easy. But they have to bring a reason. Huh?
Well, that the question is, the Besdin that's organizing it has to decide whether it's a proper disqualification or not.
You think it's
if a guy wants to pick a third, and then they find out that either the guy is biased to them, or he's a relative of them, of theirs, even distant, they have a right to apostle him.
How does it work? They tell the defendants before they show up who the judge is?
By Zabla, for sure.
Rabbi, in your opinion, most cases it's out of paranoia that disqualify, or is it real, genuine reason?
Sometimes it's genuine. Sometimes they're distant relatives. They don't want.
Is it necessary for a judge to be a rabbi?
No, if they accept him, it doesn't matter. If they accept it, you can accept yukals.
Which judge could be a judge?
If they accept him.
Yeah.
Do they ever do that to qualified rabbis that they would agree to get the third to be someone that is not religious at all?
They're not going to get a non-religious person. Because a person who is what's called a Rasha is not a kosher witness or a kosher judge. You have to be Shomer Shabbos. You have to be knowledgeable. If it's a complex case, you have to know the case. You can't.
Are you considered knowledgeable?
No. Tashma, come, I'll bring a proof. Omle le Rabbi Meir, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Meir, Leikol Hameino, Shapesel Dain Shemumcha le Rabbi. It says in a Braise that the Chachomim said to Rabbi Meir, you, Rabbi Meir, says a litigant can disqualify the judge. So they said to him, how can a litigant have the ability to disqualify a kosher judge? Right? So what do we see from here? That the Chachamim, that Rav Meir holds, if the Chachamim said to Rav Meir, how can you hold that you could disqualify a proper judge? That means Rav Meir holds you could disqualify a proper judge. And the Gemara just answered, no, that Rav Meir holds is if the guy's a relative or something like that. Here the Braisa is saying, the Chachamim said to Rav Meir, how in the world can you hold and maintain that you can disqualify an expert judge? You can't. How can you do that? But what you see from there, that the mayor holds you could disqualify an expert judge, which is contrary to what we just explained.
One second.
So Gemara says, Emo, what it means is like this. It's not enough to disqualify an unknowledgeable judge. That the public authorized him to judge. In other words, the Gemara is changing the wording of the Braise. The Braise had the word mumcha, which means an expert kosher judge. The Gemara says, no, that's not the wording of the Braise. The word is shehimchu, means that people accepted a non-qualified judge. And that you could disqualify. In other words, like this. Braises, because they weren't put into the Mishnah, they were left outside of the Mishnah, a lot of times the expression, the braises were not that accurate. A lot of times you find braises were not accurate. Because it was outside the Mishnah, it wasn't accepted, it wasn't worked on, it wasn't edited, it wasn't, you know. So the Gemara answers, that's not what the braises says. The braises thought, the people thought it said mumcha, meaning an expert. But that's not what the braises says. The braises says Shem Chumi, that they accepted him as a judge over them. What? What did you want?
Somebody who knows that he's going to lose. And
a litigant?
Yeah.
No.
And he comes and they say, this judge, he says, no. This judge, no, no, no. How many times he can do that?
No, Bezdin doesn't play games like this. Bezdin says you have to give a legitimate reason why you're disqualifying him. And he has to, first of all, Allah is like the Chachamim, not like Rameyer. Chachamim, you can't disqualify a judge. Unless, like the Chachamim say, you can prove he's a relative.
A valid reason.
100% valid reason that the Bezdin has to accept why you're disqualifying him.
What happens in the case when somebody invites someone to come to Beit Din and that person does not show up?
What's done in the olden days or today?
Today.
In a proper Bezdin, they send you three hazmonas, three summons, okay, to come to Bezdin. If after the third summons you don't come,
Shotri.
They give what?
Shotri?
No. They give what's called a shtar siruf. The Bezdins are very hesitant to do it today, but you give a shtar siruf. A shtar siruf means a public letter that this person did not, he received of his refusal. He refused to come to Bezdin. Okay? Now, in siruf itself, there are different categories. Sometimes siruf means they'll come up with a siruf, or if a guy refuses to give a get to his wife when the Bezdin ruled that he was supposed to, and the guy's just obnoxious and he's not giving, so Bezdin will give out a siruf. I mean, they'll give it a psak that the guy needs to give a get, let's say, or the guy needs to come to Bezdin, and if he doesn't come, Bezdin gives out shtar siruf. Siruf means you can't count him for a minyan, you can't give him an aliyah. If he comes into shul, you're really supposed to throw him out. It depends on different levels of the siruf. It's a type of a chedim. Now, years ago, that worked.
Sanctions.
It was sanctions.
The guy says, I don't care.
Yeah, but if you no show lets him in, you have an issue.
So then they take that document to every shul?
No, they send it out. Until years ago.
What do they do now?
You ever read the Jewish press or anything? I don't read it often, but you ever see there's a section with this guy was in Seder from this Bezdin, yeah. Seder from this Bezdin.
Nowadays?
Some of them do it. Most Bezdin don't like doing it. It gets too political.
So about
somebody
today.
Walks in here,
how many Bezdins we have?
If a guy had a seer from a
kosher,
a proper Bezdin, I wouldn't let him in.
Yeah, but how do you know if it's the Bezdin up here? Or
no, you see who the Bezdin is. The Bezdin gives out the seer.
So have you appointed a short trim?
Huh?
Have you appointed a short trim to throw him out?
Yeah, if the Bezdin of Canada was a seer, should we have to abide by it?
So that's another shaila. Does a Bezdin in a different city have to honor the seer of it? That's whole discussion in Allah. How far does it go?
So you have to check.
Let's get back to the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi, so we learned also in the Braisim, because it says, Le'elam Peisel V'Helech, a litigant can continue rejecting the judges. Achi Kabbal of Bezdin Shemukhul Rabbim. Until he accepts it by himself, according to his public knowledge, as an expert, Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir holds. In other words, once the guy has a chazak of being an expert judge, then you can't undo him anymore. So the Gemara says, but the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yechon like this. Witnesses are like experts. A judge maybe has to be an expert. But a kosher witness is a kosher witness. V'armer Rameir, and yet Rameir says, Zeh peisel eid of shelzeh, v'zeh peisel eid of shelzeh. Each litigant could disqualify the other guy's witnesses also. And l'chayr, witnesses are always experts. The Gemara says, yeah, but Aha Itman Allah Rabbi Rish Lakish said about this. Can a holy mouth like a mayor say such a ridiculous statement? In other words, according to this, the mayor said everybody can disqualify the other guy's witnesses. Yeah? So Rish Lakish says, can a holy mouth like a mayor say such a ridiculous statement? How can everybody? Of course, everybody will I owe you $1,000. You bring witnesses, I'll disqualify them. I mean, come on, you can't. What type of since you don't have a system then? So what it means is to know Edai when he has one witness. In other words, if there's only one witness, which can't do anything anyway, you can't extract money, right? You can only extract a shvua. So then. Where the mayor holds, you can disqualify him. But not if there's two witnesses.
Then how do they extract the shvua?
Again, it's something Beis Din doesn't do today, most bati dinim. But the shvua is, if I come to you and say you owe me $1,000, yeah, I have no proof, you deny it, so really, the Gemara says, the Chacham, the Gemara says in Bab Metzia, Bab Bas, all over the place, it's what's called Shavuos Esses. We'll learn about it later also. Shavuos Esses means, it's a Machlaikas also. Some people say, Rav Nachman in the Gemara instituted Shavuos Esses. Some people say it was before. But Shavuos Esses is, even if I say you owe me $1,000 and you deny it, you have to swear a rabbinic oath that you don't owe me. Why? Because the Gemara says a rule, you don't come to a guy and say you owe me $1,000 if it's not true, if there's no smoke or something there, you know what I mean? So, Minatayra, if I say you owe me $1,000 and you say no I don't, go for like a kite, you're off the hook. That's it. I have no proof. I have to extract money, you need a proof. I can't just come and you say you owe me money. Yeah? Now, rabbinically, the Chacham said you have to swear that you don't owe the money. Okay? What happens if I say you owe me $1,000 and you say no, I owe you only 500? It's called made the b'mixas. Then it becomes a biblical shvur. It's a biblical oath. Ki huzeh, the Gemara learns out that made the b'mixas is a biblical oath, which means I say you owe me $1,000. You admit 500, so obviously the 500 you have to pay. And then you have to swear a biblical oath that you don't owe me the rest.
What's the difference?
That's what the Torah says. Oh, what's the difference between biblical? Biblical, the Gemara says, they made it much more spooky. They darkened the room. They made the room black. And they started threatening the person that when God said in the Ten Commandments not to say God's name in vain, which is a shvua, the world trembled, and you should know that if you swear falsely, you're going to burn in the... They would scare the guy out of his mind. To the extent... that it was such a difficult thing to do, many tzaddikim would rather pay, even though they're innocent. They could have sworn and gotten out of it, not to swear with God's name and the whole thing, they would just pay the money instead. Okay, that's one biblical shvur. There's three biblical shvurs. Okay, three biblical shvurs. One is made of a mixas, like I just said. I say you owe me 1,000, you say I owe you 500. It doesn't mean 500, it could be 100.
What's the name of it?
Made of mixas.
No, the Shavua itself.
The Naisa.
Okay. It doesn't have a different, the Shavua.
No.
Use Hashem's name?
Yeah. Sefer Torah, say Hashem's name, and they spook it. I mean, it's a serious thing. Then the next Shavua, Minatayra, is this case of Eid Echad. I say you owe me $1,000. You say, no, I don't. And I produce one witness that you do. Now, one witness, halachically, yesterday's parsha, Pishnayim Edim, has to be two witnesses. One witness cannot extract money. What could it do? It extracts a vow from you that you don't owe me the money. Biblical oath. Not a rabbinic oath that Chum instituted. If I say you owe me $1,000, and you say, I owe you nothing, and I produce one kosher witness, okay, that says you owe me the $1,000, you have to swear. If you swear, against the witness, you don't pay. Bechal, let me tell you, as a rule, with a few exceptions, when you swear in Bezdin, you can't swear and take. Swearing gets you out of payment. In other words, if I say you owe me $1,000, I can't swear that you do to get the money. Swearing only gets you out of payment. The only time where you can't is if the guy that's supposed to swear is known to be a liar and a thief and everybody else, so he can't swear. So then the Eshekenegde Nishpa Venetel. Then the Chachamim said, the other guy swears and takes. But as a rule, you never swear and take.
But that's not the right.
That's Midrabanan. But Minateira, you never swear and take. Okay, that's the second Shvur Minateira, Eid Echad. The third Shvur Minateira is a Shemer. Shemer Chinam. If it was stolen or lost, a Shemer Chinam has to swear that it was stolen or lost, and then he doesn't have to pay. Right? So that's also the three biblical Shvurs. That's it. Now so the Gemara says like this, because one witness is not really a valid witness, it can't extract money, so Rav Meir says that you could disqualify. I mean, you can't just say I don't like you. You have to, even according to Rav Meir, you can't just say I don't like you. You have to give a reason why he's not valid. But the Chum said it has to be a real reason, like relative or apostle or something. The Meirot, even if you a semi-decent reason why you don't trust him. So, by two witnesses, the Shokesh explains according to the Meir. The Meir never said you can guy disqualify two witnesses. If a guy brings one witness, so the Meir says, the Chum disagree. But the Meir holds, the litigant can disqualify that one witness because he's not a real expert, because he's not extracting money.
Somebody is going to Betin. He's coming to play Hashem. I mean, he shouldn't lie. He shouldn't say.
Yeah, but people should never lie.
Right.
But they lie anyway.
By default.
Rabbi, what is Bichlal?
Generally speaking.
How many Shavuot the Rabbanon we have?
For the census.
That's the only one?
So, if the borrower is lying.
The borrower?
Yeah, and the lender wants to prove it that he's lying.
So that's why you get a document that the guy signs.
If you don't have document, you can't.
Then you're a fool for lending him the money. You deserve to lose it. If you lend a dishonest person that you know is dishonest, you lend the money, then you're a fool.
After that.
So give it to tzedakah, write it off. Don't expect to get it.
What is Nikita's chefetz?
No, Nikita's chefetz is shvua min ha'teira. Nikita's chefetz means you hold on to sefer teira.
Oh, that.
By a biblical shvua, it's with Nikita's chefetz. You're holding on to a chefetz, meaning a sefer teira, tefillin, or something like that.
Oh, that's when you extract.
No. Any biblical shvur.
Oh, so it's a part of
the name of Hashem is Yud?
Yeah, it's biblical shvur with Nikita's chayfetz, meaning grabbing onto an object.
Oh, so it's not a different one. It's the same thing. It's just they have a different terminology for the same process.
Right.
What does the answer of I don't remember count as in Jewish law? In the civil rights, it's counted as a positive.
Well, that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Bari v'shama, bari odif. If I say, you owe me $1,000, and you say, I don't remember, I still, according to Halacha, I still have to prove it.
Who has to prove it?
Me. Whoever wants to extract money. Okay. Who has to prove it? The extractor or the guy getting extracted from? When you want to extract money, you need to prove it. Why? It's a very simple thing. If I want to extract money from you, who's holding the money? You're holding the money, right? So you have a chazaka that it's your money. If I want to prove that it's my money, I am going against chazaka. If I say, you have the talis here, you're holding the talis here. If I say it's my talis, do I have to prove it or you have to prove it? Why?
Because
Because we know until now it's always yours. You've been using it, so it's yours. If I want to go, a chazak is very powerful, by the way. That's the kind. Why? Because the guy that has the money has a chazaka that he owns the money. You want to break that chazaka, then you have to prove it.
When you say the truth, is it? It's
okay. I like when you say the truth. Yeah, when once in a while when you say the truth
once
is what.
Once in a while when you're saying a statement that's true.
No.
It's okay to bring the name of Hashem down.
You don't say the name of Hashem. Only if Beth makes it.
Only
based on that. You're saying God's name in vain.
Even if it's true.
Yeah, still vain.
Even if it's God's name in English?
Any language.
Swear.
Okay.
So the vows, nedarim, and all that, does it play any role in this Shavuot?
No. Okay, now the Gemara asked a very simple question. So the Gemara came to the conclusion, this that Amir says you can disqualify the guy's witness by one witness. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. If you're saying about paying money, Rachmana Pasa, the Torah disqualifies him. Why does he have to disqualify it? Because if the guy wants to extract money with one witness, the Torah says no. So why do you have to disqualify him? Ila Shvua. And if you're talking about that, you want the guy to swear, say, Amunika men kebetei, so the Torah believes him like two. The Gemara says, I don't understand. You're telling me one witness that a mayor holds you could disqualify. Yeah? So 1 minute. If the guy wants to use the witness to extract money, so the Torah says he's no good. And if it's to make him swear, so the Torah says he's believed like two. So how can you disqualify him? So the Gemara says, La'elam l'mamim. Okay? Meaning like this. Leitzrich is speaking, the Kabla Lekubetrei. This is a weird state. The litigant initially accepted the witness like two. And then he changed his mind. It's a very weird case. I say, oh, you $1,000. And you say to me, if I bring any witnesses, even one witness, you'll accept them like two. And I bring, so you accepted. One witness is two. Right? And then I bring one witness, and then you say, no, he's not kosher.
I see that.
So the mayor holds he can disqualify him then. He's already disqualified from the Torah. He's not, because you accepted him initially as two.
I don't understand. I can accept one aid as two, and Torah accepts my saying?
If I say, yeah.
The Torah said two.
Right
back to the beginning. Then I can change the law of Torah. The Torah says that two human beings have to act as an.
If I say I owe you $1,000, I say I owe you $1,000, and you bring 1,000 witnesses that I don't. Do I have to pay the money or not?
Yeah.
The Torah says no.
No, it's a two of you. At least two is within it. Oh, you mean to extract money?
Yeah. No, I say I owe you
$1,000.
I say I owe you $1,000, and you bring witnesses that I don't.
There's no, yeah, he's right. There's no case.
Why? So I Torah says two witnesses.
You said
you're extracting money from me.
You already saying you owe me.
But two witnesses say you don't. That means Torah says you don't.
That was the case of the miser.
Yeah.
I don't, aiding don't make sense, so there could be something.
No, Sigmar says, he does about din, come aid them. If I agree that you owe me money, even if there's 100 witnesses saying I don't, they still have to pay the money.
There's no case.
Torah says there's no witnesses. I mean, there are witnesses that say you don't.
So this is.
That's what you asked, no?
It doesn't make sense. You say you owe me $1,000.
Yeah. Then and you I prove that I don't.
What kind of Jew is going to
do
that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah, once you say...
I once had such a shaila. I said, wow, this is crazy. Somebody sent the kid to preschool. Okay? And then the kid got sick and they had to take it out of the preschool. So normally what happens, the preschool says you have to pay for the year anyway.
Absolutely.
Right? You have to, because here was the opposite. The preschool said, no, you took your kid out, got sick, we want to give you back the money.
Which preschool was
it? One second. And the person said, no, it's not, why should you suffer? I want to pay the money. It was once in my lifetime I had such a shaila.
Wow.
I said, wow, this is weird. I said, you sure you guys are Jewish?
Wow. So what happens? I mean,
huh? Can you imagine?
Never again.
It was mamish a case, the opposite of every. The preschool said, no, we want to refund the money. And the parents said, no, how could you refund the money?
So they took it to Beit Din this time?
They called me up. It wasn't a Beit Din. They called me up.
That's so nice.
So, Rabbi, so in this case, the case of Gemara.
First I laughed.
No, what do you do?
What
do you want? I don't split it.
You split it? That's interesting.
Yeah. What? Waste time? Yeah, split it and finish
it. Yeah.
So, in a case like that, the fact that you said you owe the money, then you have to give the money regardless of if he brings Edim that you don't.
Right.
Even if he brings two.
Even if he brings 1,000.
So, Rabbi, you're saying there are times that sometimes one person can be like two.
Yeah, but here the Gemara says it's only if I accept him as two.
Both sides.
School.
No, the litigant. The defendant.
Yeah, but the
if the nitfa, the guy, the defendant, okay, says, the guy says, you owe me $1,000. Yeah? And he says to him back, listen, I don't owe you a cent. I'll make you a deal. If you bring me even one witness that says I do, I'll pay you the money.
Okay.
And then the guy produces one witness. So normally, what would be the din?
You can extract money.
It's done. It's finished.
He has to extract the money.
Yes.
Because he accepted him as two.
Right.
Now, what happens? The guy changes his mind. Said, you know what? I don't accept him.
No. We just learned.
So the mayor holds you could disqualify him. That's what the mayor just said. Chachamim hold no. But the mayor holds you could still disqualify him.
He accepted it.
Yeah, but the mayor holds you could change your mind.
So we're going to... Is that what mean?
No, Chachamim.
What I don't understand, how could because the person the says one eight is like two? If the Torah says one eight is not two, one is one. Just because...
That's why I answered you. If Torah says I don't have to pay, and I say I do have to pay, do I pay or not?
Yeah. Which one is more?
Because the one witness that he accepted finishes the case.
But the Gemara says, Mike, the Gemara asked, we learned this already. Michael Mashmo, what are you telling me? The matzah, the litigant can retract his acceptance of witnesses. Tanita, we learned it already in the Mishnah. It says, Amalei, if one litigant says to the other, you know what? Neman alai Abba, my father is acceptable as a judge. Neman alai Avicha, your father is acceptable for me as a judge. Or Neman and alai Gimerei Boker, or three cattle shepherds, who is basically total ignorant. I accept them as witnesses. Yeah? Or a judge. The mayor says, Yechelu Yachel Achzvi, he could change his mind. He can unaccept them. Chachamim, any Yachel Achzvi, he can't, because once you accept it, he accepted it. But a mayor holds that you could accept it.
You don't go by with Rabbi Meir because of the majority?
One second. Va'amer Abdim, the Gemara is not finished yet. Va'amer Abdim, b'reid Rav Nachman, b'reid Rav Yosef. Rav Dimi, the son of Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Yosef, said, it's speaking about the case, k'gain the kibla le'a b'chad, that he accepted him as one of the three judges. Right? Now, what does Rav Meir hold? That even though you accepted him as a judge, you could still disqualify him. Right? So why do I need Rav Meir to say it again if we already learned it? What was your question?
So you don't go with Rav Meir because of the majority?
Yes.
We never go like Rav Meir,
no? No, it depends.
Otherwise it's too high to understand. So.
That's why a lot of dinim, but we don't say we never pass on like Rav Meir. Okay, so the Gemara answers like this. Tzrich, I need both cases. If the Mishnah only said the case of my father is acceptable and your father. And that's when the Chachamim said, you can't change your mind. Why? Mishim the Abba Vavichel Chozel Alma. Because for other people, they are kosher judges. My father and your father, Betzim, are kosher judges. It's not for me and not for you. Right? But they are kosher judges. So then I would think, Rabbi, the Chachamim hold you can't change your mind. Because essentially, they're kosher judges. Avol chad ket beitrei. But one to consider one like two. One witness like two witnesses. The la'alma lechazi, it's never good. Maybe the Chacham would agree to Rav Meir that he could change his mind. Meaning like this. One case was, if a guy accepted one as two, Rav Meir says he could change your mind. And second case is, my father, your father, you could change your mind. So Gemara says, why do I need both cases? So Gemara answers, because if Rav Meir only said one case, that your father and my father are acceptable, and then he changes his mind, I would think only over there the Chachamim would say, only there the Chachamim would say, you can't change your mind. Why? Because normally your father and my father essentially are kosher witnesses. Just not for me, and not for you. But they're kosher witnesses. So I think once you accept them, that's why the Chachamim say that you cannot disqualify him. But maybe when the case of one acceptable as two, where one is never accepted as two, one can never be two.
Right.
So maybe over there the Chachamim would agree to Rav Meir that you could change your mind afterwards.
Because there's potential.
Right. The same thing we ask mean about the reverse. May if it only say about the single witness, then I would think Rav Meir says you could change your mind. Alvo Bahi, but the case of a father or your father. When really the normal kosher witness is Eima made a Rabbanim. I would think they would admit to the Chacham that you can't change your mind. Tzricha, we need both. And then the Gemara just says like this. Amidik Tani Seifa. Reisha Dayanu. V'Seifa Edov. The Gemara says like this. Reish Lakish said that instead of Rav Meir saying two witnesses, it means one witness. He amended the version. Not Edov, but Edoi. So Gemara said, but then the language of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. It starts off by saying judges, plural, and then witnesses should be plural. How can you say judges are plural and witnesses is one? Amirik Tani Reisha, Dayanai. Okay, he's just singular. And aid of plural, Amadavka Tani, we see that it's exact. So Lucheda, even Rav Meir holds you can disqualify a group of witnesses. Why does Reish Lakish say you can only disqualify one? That's what the Gemara asks. Okay, but so Gemara now answers a different answer than before. So it's like this. Amar Rav Elazar, the Gemara's question basically is like this. How can Rav Meir hold that a litigant can disqualify somebody else's witness? It doesn't make sense. Right? You bring a witness. What right do I have to disqualify it? Who am I to disqualify your witness?
Maybe it's family, maybe.
Okay, then the Chacham also hold you could. But why does the mayor hold you can very easily disqualify somebody else's witness? Why?
If you've already accepted it and you can disqualify it, for sure you can disqualify it if you don't accept it.
But how can I bring a witness? How can you disqualify it? What right do you have to disqualify my witness?
Before we said.
Before the Gemara, but the Gemara refuted that because the Gemara says it says plural, witnesses. So then you can't say he's speaking one witness.
But if you have a good reason, what's based on guidelines?
If it's a valid reason, even the Chachamim hold you can disqualify him. If I bring a witness and you could prove he's a relative, well, of course he's disqualified. But a mayor holds you can disqualify him just because you say he's not a good person. What? You have no proof that he's a liar, a ganef, a thief, or a Russia relative. You'd say, this thing's not good.
So, you can't accept it. If he doesn't have a strong proof, you not accept it.
A mayor holds I can disqualify your witness.
If I accepted a witness, and I disqualified it later?
That's the case the Gemara said before, but now the Gemara is answering a different answer than that. Rav Meir holds, if it's what before the Gemara said, if it's one witness, you could disqualify him, even if you accepted him as two. But the Gemara refuted that, because the Gemara says the Braisa must be speaking about two witnesses, not one. Okay? So now the Gemara is going back to the original question, why is it possible that a mayor would hold you can disqualify somebody else's witness? You bring a witness that I owe you $1,000, how can I say no, he's not good? How can you do that? According to the man, that's what a mayor holds in the Mishnah. So the question is, how could a mayor say that somebody could just disqualify somebody else's witness? So the Belazar answers an interesting answer. But Bahu Va'achel Lepesim, it's not only the litigant. Another witness also comes to invalidate the witness.
Not Zoman.
No, not Zoman. It's not good. In other words, you bring a witness, and then Rameh says the litigant can disqualify him. When? If another witness also says the witness is no good. Then it makes sense already.
That makes sense.
What about the other way?
What do you mean the other way?
The defendant?
Tomat, either one.
That's not considered two witnesses?
No, I'm not a kosher witness.
Rabbeinu,
but
could the witness disqualify itself?
We do it all the time.
No. There's a rule in the Torah, Kivin Shehigid, Shuv Eino Chayzeru Magid. Once the witness testified, he cannot change his mind. Once he said it, it's done.
But before he testifies?
Yeah, before he does, then he doesn't go. But if a guy knows witness testimony, he doesn't go, it's a negative commandment in the Torah. Im le'yagid v'nasa v'enei. A witness knows testimony, he has to go say it.
Did you go to Jews or go to also?
Why did they come to you and say, can you please come? You were there, can come please say something to us.
It's a biblical prohibition.
Oh, he has to.
But the judge can say, I don't want to take this case.
A judge can say, I don't want to take this case.